Welcome, Liam. Thank you for spending some time with us. And I've also got Sean Thomas with me as well to help in the conversation.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Just some background information, Liam. Who are you and your involvement with Clontarf over the last few years? And what's Clontarf all about?
So, my name's Liam Toner, from Victoria originally. Before I worked with Clontarf, I was a school teacher, teaching mainly in a town called Tennant Creek in the Northern Territory. Give me a really interesting perspective to work for Clontarf now. So while I was teaching in Tennant Creek, we didn't have a Clontarf Academy at the school, but some of the schools down the road in Alice Springs did have an academy. So we were able to engage with those guys and see the rich experiences that the boys were having down the road and then not have it in my school. So my current role at Clontarf is to work with schools to implement the program in their school. So having gone through that myself, definitely given me an interesting perspective, and seeing the outcomes that the school was able to generate in Tennant post implementation of a program means I'm really passionate about this job now. Clontarf, all about helping young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander boys go to school each day till they finish year 12 and then be prepared to get a job by the time that they graduated. Was started by a fellow named Jared Neeson, who was a teacher but then also an elite sports person, coached the Fremantle Dockers, eventually got the sack from his post as head coach of the Fremantle Dockers and returned to teaching. He went back to a school named Clontarf Aboriginal College. What he found was young people were disengaging from school at far too young an age, and basically set about trying to address that. The principal made him the coach of the football team at school, and he made a deal with the boys. If you come to school each day, I'll be your football coach and we'll go on a camp at the end of each term. Very simple deal, but what he found by doing that was teachers were coming to him and saying, the boys are engaging in class much more, we're seeing the behaviours we want to see in class more often. So he didn't really start his project with that in mind. It was a bit of a byproduct of, I guess, what his passion was. And basically, that's how Clontarf was born.
Okay, all right. So in a Port Lincoln High context, how many staff, or Clontarf staff, would there be working with our Aboriginal boys?
We staff at a ratio of 25 to 1. So if there were 50 boys in a program at the school, you'd have two full-time staff. I think it's important to mention that it's not compulsory to be in Clontarf. It's something that you choose to be a part of. So we would offer the program out to all of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander boys at the school. And depending on the uptake, that's how your staffing would work. Usually we get about 90% of boys voluntarily want to be in the program.
So Liam, will the Clontarf staff be involved in other aspects of Port Lincoln High School, excursions, sports days, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. We aim to embed wholly in the school and be viewed as, I guess, another faculty within the school. So whether that's, you know, staff meetings, as I said, school sports day, we'd be encouraging the boys to be in the school, play, all of the great things and rich experiences that a school offers. We want to be a part of, and we want to help the boys to access those.
All right, Liam, what does a day for a Clontarf boy look like? And then moving on from that, what does a day for a staff member involved in Clontarf look like?
Very busy day. We have training sessions before school on a Tuesday and Thursday, so I can run you through the types of things that both our boys and our house staff would be involved in. So it could start, you know, 5:30, 6 in the morning, starting to pick the boys up for a training session that would start at 7. Now, our training sessions are all about having fun and being engaging, and we've certainly learned that if you want to get teenage boys to school an hour before the bell goes or an hour and a half before the bell goes, it better be fun. So a fun and engaging training session at 7, followed by a breakfast that we would all share together inside the Clontarf room at about 8. And, you know, we get close to the bell going, we'd be getting the boys ready, making sure they're in uniform, got all their equipment. And then as the bell goes, we would access their classes as normal. We offer all of our boys a health check, so we might be working with the local medical service on preparing those. Probably have about 50 teenage boys to feed at recess and lunch. So a lot of shopping and preparing for those sort of engagements. A really important aspect of being in Clontarf is preparing for work. So we might be engaging with businesses in town to help prepare the boys to work there and also working with them to host our boys. We want to get community members in and working with the boys as well. It might be engaging with the program like Headspace to come in and talk to the boys about their mental health. Also working with teachers to make sure the boys that are up to date with their all of their assignments, or the careers advisor to see where they're at with the boys being placed in work experience. engagement, lifts to and from school when required, but all of that done in the school environment. We aim to make the school a really fun and engaging place that's going to draw the boys inside the front door of each team.
Now, Liam, you mentioned a Clontarf room. What's the rationale behind that, and where do you see that being positioned in the school?
It's really important that the room is not viewed as like a bolt-on on the edge of the school. We'd like our room to be right in the middle of the school, so that's where we're drawing the boys each day. It becomes the heartbeat of the program. It's a really safe and welcoming space that the boys access before school, during recess, lunch and after school. It can also be a place where we can host meetings with parents, community members. It's really calm, organised, positive and well-presented space that the boys maintain, and it's where they're working on their core life skills. Our rooms are set up the same all across Australia, and they give a consistent message to the boys, and it's really an area to celebrate them. So if you're looking at the standard size classroom that also has a kitchenette in there, it's not a hideout or a hovel. We want it to be a really engaging place for the whole school where boys can bring their friends, be really proud of, and, you know, we're also running along the same values and principles that the school has, same rules apply in the Clontarf room as they would apply across the school.
Okay, so in the South Australian model, and in particular Portlingham High, how will Clontarf and SASTA work from a Clontarf point of view?
So having never worked in South Australia before, SASTA was definitely something we were interested to find out more about. Having spent a bit of time now working or looking in schools and seeing how SASTA operates, from what we've been able to work out, a majority of the time spent in a SASTA program is spent inside the classroom, which is exactly where we want kids to be. So I think the only thing we have to be aware of is if a boy is accessing a couple of different programs, that they're not outside of the classroom too often, and they're not, I guess, playing one program on the other, but not committing to some of the more difficult aspects. So a bit more follow-up to do, but from what I've been able to gather so far, I think we see programs complementing each other.
Okay, it's really great to clarify that. One more question from me, and then we'll finish off with a question from Sean. Students or potential students, candidates, can they be students who suffer from learning disabilities or have some engagement issues at school? Or are you after students who are mainstream clients only that are fully engaged in school life?
No, we definitely have students with disability involved in our program, a range of disabilities. It's a very inclusive program, and one where, you know, we really see the boys, I think, shine when they're looking after their mates. There was a young fella the whole Freedom Academy just went on a major trip down to Melbourne. One of the boys in that academy has Down syndrome, and he's been in the program throughout his schooling life, went on the major trip and kicked the winning goal in front of all the Carlton players down in Melbourne, and it was one of the great affirming things that I've been a part of. Clontarf is not a program for good boys, for bad boys, for engaged boys, for disengaged boys. We want to work with all of the boys in town that are enrolled at the school and turning up to the school each day.
And Liam, finally from me, there's obviously planning going on in the background now. How's that going, and when can we expect the first cohort of students to begin at Portlingham High School?
Starting a program that everybody knows exactly what to expect when it starts. We always say that we don't go to a town unless the town wants us to be there. The key part the town is speaking about there, obviously, the school and the local community. So we're in a phase of the minute where we're speaking with schools to try and paint a picture for you guys exactly what it would look like if you had a program at your school, and we're doing the same thing out in the community. If everything goes smoothly there and we get the thumbs up to say yes, we'd like to have a Clontarf program, well, I could imagine this having staff at your school in term one, but having a more intensive sort of build up to the program starting, and then having a functioning program by about term two.
Liam, it's been really good to talk to you. Thank you very much for clarifying all those issues. And we'll obviously grow as a school over the rest of this year and the beginning of next year as the engagement with Clontarf increases. You're going to come and visit the school in the next couple of weeks, I know, and we'll further roll this plan out, including some consultation with the local community. Thank you, Liam. I really appreciate it. And thank you, Sean, for your time in helping out today.
Cheers. Thanks, Liam.
Pleasure. Look forward to meeting you all soon.